following is Fawn Ellis's talk, Me, You, and Them, Designing Interactions for Healthy Relationships from the 2014 Information Architecture Summit. The 2014 IA Summit podcasts are brought to you by UIE's All You Can Learn. Stay tuned after the podcast for more information about All You Can Learn.
I'm Fawn Ellis, and some of you might know me from Adaptive Path. I was a lead experience designer there, and now I am with GE Healthcare. But this talk has nothing to do with either of those places. Just wanted to introduce myself. And I'm also pregnant, so if I'm walking around and you see something kicking, I don't have an alien in my belly. It's a little boy inside me. So my talk is called Me, You, and Them, Designing Interactions for Healthy Relationships. And it's really about my explorations on what does it take to create healthy, long-term human relationships and meaningful relationships, and how can we adapt that to our technologies. And because technology is so vast, I decided to focus the scope on websites and apps. So here we go. Some of you probably know who Le Corbusier is. He was an architect, urban planner, and furniture designer in the 1920s. And he really felt that objects should be extensions of our bodies or our limbs. They should be efficient, and they should be harmonious with us. They should help us function in our daily lives. He also felt that they should be our docile servants, that they should stay put, and we build our environments around them, and then they will help us accomplish our tasks, whatever it is that we are trying to do, like lounge in a chair. But where have we come since then? I like to say the 80s, 90s, early aughts. We have these desktop computers, and some of us still have them at work, and we would build our environments around them, and we'd go to them, and we would do our tasks, such as word processing. Now we have what I like to call mobile partners, or I would like to call them mobile partners. This is on a bus in Austin, and obviously this guy's having a hard time, but we have our devices in our pockets, in our purses, our smartphones, our tablets, and we are bringing them into our environments. We're not building our environments around them, but we're bringing them into our environments, and we hope that they will help us in achieve our tasks and work with us to achieve whatever it is that we need to achieve. And then we're moving beyond that to having interactions in front of our faces all the time, so with Google Glass. And I don't really know if Google Glass is a great mobile partner or not. I haven't tried it. But this is really an example of that we are constantly interacting with our technologies, and we don't want to feel like a servant to our technologies. We want to have a harmonious partnership with them. And so I did a lot of research. I looked at all types of relational scientific papers and books and looked at all different types of research on relationships. And there are a couple people, Steve Duck and Ruth Lynn Jostelson, who really influenced me in terms of creating a relationship model. So I created this relationship model, which is a simplified version, and I feel like relationships are infinite. We start with our short-term relationship, and this is where we discover and we find alignment with people. And then we move on to the second part of this infinite relationship, where we try to understand each other's meaning systems, what has deep value for people. And then once we understand that person's meaning system, we can tend, care, and anticipate their needs. We have this foundational surface here with personal and social order alignment, which I'll get to. This always has to be persistent. Autonomy always has to be persistent. Timing has to be persistent. And communication across both short-term and long-term relationships. And in the short term, let's step back for a second. In order to discover alignment with one another, to even start an engagement, we need to identify and relate with people. And then once we feel that we identify and relate with that person, we're going to disclose a little bit of information. And it could be something generic like, hi, my name is, and then give a little bit of background. And then we'll disclose a little bit more information. And if we feel that we get along, then we might go for coffee. And then we'll have deeper disclosure about who we are, personal information. And then we'll share in more experiences. We might go for a movie or something like that. And then we'll contribute at some point. We'll have collaborative effort, what I like to call collaborative effort. We help each other out at some point in this relationship, and we might give tokens of commitment or gifts that have meaning. It's not like Aunt Susie giving you a scarf that you're like, what, this doesn't meet my needs, or it's not who I am. So understanding someone's meaning system, you can contribute meaningful gifts. personal growth. We want to help each other grow, whether it's relational, work-related, or your friendships. You want to help somebody grow. We're looking for that personal growth in our relationships and each other. We need to help each other grow. And then we'll disclose. Disclosure is constant. It's persistent. And it gets deeper as we move through our relationships with one another. And then we'll evolve and realign eventually. We change as people. And we are, just as I am pregnant and I will give birth to a baby soon, my meaning system is going to change. What is important to me, my values are going to change, and I will have to realign with my family and friends, and they will have to realign with me. We'll have to go through this whole identity process again so that we don't have these tensions and that we can have a harmonious relationship with one another. So alignment is key. We have social order, and social order is really societal norms, and research shows that societal norms actually start before we're even born, and then they continue on. We learn from our friends and peers, the people who surround us, about what is normal in society and what are societal expectations. And this is the Netherlands. I lived there for 2 years, and cycling became a social norm in the 1950s because they realized that cars were polluting the air and causing a lot of accidents and deaths and things like that, so they invested in infrastructure. But in America, we don't really have this as a social norm. It is kind of a subcultural thing. It's a personal order. This is a world naked bike ride. It happens across the US. It also happens in some cities across the world. This guy has his personal order on his back. More ass, less gas. We know that he likes the bike ride. He's an advocate for cycling. We don't know what that actually means for him. Why does he have more ass, less gas on his back? We would need to actually talk to him and understand what has deep meaning and value for him. And that we don't know. So we need to know the why. If we look at technology, we have our social orders. This is just one example. The shopping cart up in the upper right. This has become a societal expectation in the Western world. We expect to have a shopping cart and know how many things are in the shopping cart. And then if we go to the shopping cart, we can see that there's a red stapler. And part of the personal order is what is there, but also why is it there? Why does this have meaning for this person? Why is the red stapler important for that person? And in order to understand personal order, we need to know the why. And it's important to understand the why so that we can make meaningful suggestions as to what to purchase next. Identity and relatedness. This is the foundation of where we begin a relationship. And how do we begin that relationship? We first look at context. To even start an engagement with someone, we look at the context that we're in and see whether or not we relate and identify. Then we'll move on to body language. Is that person using the same body language that I would use? Does that body language even appeal to me? If so, maybe I'll engage with that person. Fashion. We'll look at the fashion. Does that fashion appeal to me? Would I dress that way? Would I aspire to dress that way? If yes, then maybe I'll engage with that person. And slang. Does this person speak similarly to me? We're looking for relatedness and identity between others in order to engage with them. So what does this look like in technology? This is Simple Bank, and for me, I'm a bit of a coffee aficionado, so I see the nice fancy cup of coffee and the simple design with the wood grain. It's very warm, it looks very simple, and it kind of speaks to me. But then I also see their brand name, which also speaks to me. I think banking is pretty confusing, and sometimes I feel like they're trying to pull the wool over my eyes. I'm like, ah, simple. That's really nice. The imagery, the context fits me. And then I look at the language that they're using, replace your bank. I even look at the font, and the font kind of speaks to me. Maybe that's just because I'm a design nerd. But even the language they're using, and I can even dive in and see how simple actually is. So I relate and I can identify with the way that they're presenting themselves. And this is a bit of branding, marketing, graphic design here. And then we move on to something like Wells Fargo. I don't really know how to identify here. The everyday personal checking, this doesn't look personal to me. I can't relate with this woman. I don't know what language to even look at or what language they're trying to use. College, I'm not really ready to talk about college yet. So I'm not identifying here, and I'm not going to interact and engage unless I'm forced to do it. Disclosure. Disclosure is really important. Once we realize that we have identified and related with somebody, we disclose, and that's really sharing of intimate information, but we disclose to align, to make sure that we are in alignment with one another. And we want to balance that disclosure. We don't want to put all of our cards out on the table all at once, because if we do that, then it's almost like we're losing our autonomy. We lose control. We feel like we're losing control of ourselves, and these people are being very intrusive to us, and we don't know what they're intending. intent is. So we need to balance that disclosure between both of us. The other person needs to disclose, and I need to disclose to them, and we'll balance it to maintain who we are and so that we have something interesting to share later on, too. But if you do it too fast, put all your cards on the table, it's too fast, too soon, and you feel like running and jumping that fence. So what does it look like in technology? I really like to use Code School as an example. I think they do a pretty good job of balancing it. First, they tell you a little bit about who they are. No setup, no hassle, just learning. A little bit of marketing jargon. They give you the opportunity to watch a video or read as you need. So you can dive in and learn a little bit about who they are before actually committing. And then you can get into their lessons and learn a little bit more. So they're slowly disclosing, peeling back the layers of the onion so that you can learn a bit about them. And I think it's really important in technology that technology discloses a little bit more because we are colored by sales and marketing intent. They continue to share. If you choose to do a jQuery lesson, you can dive right in, or you can get a little bit more information in terms of the lessons and preview them and take a lesson for free without even giving your credit card information, which I think is awesome. You can also get to know your instructors as well before you dive in, so building that trust. If you decide to take your lesson, you're only asked to provide a username and password. You're still not asked for anything too intimate. At this point, I've gotten to know Code School, so I feel comfortable moving forward. If we look at the too fast, too soon model, I think Netflix does a pretty too fast, too soon. And they give you an image, a very generic image, one that you may or may not identify with. They give you some marketing jargon. And then they ask you if you want to start your free month. Sure, I'll start my free month, but I still don't know who you are. And then they ask you to create an account. I still don't know who you are. You haven't disclosed any information about yourself. And then they ask you for really personal information, which almost feels like asking for a social security number. These are my finances. You're telling me it's hassle-free, but I don't know if I trust that, and I have to instantly put in my credit card information. This is pretty unhealthy. I don't know who you are yet. I don't know if I identify with you. So it feels like you're putting the ring on the finger and you're committing way too soon, and it makes you want to jump and run, or you feel very forced into it. So we did a really quick round of the short-term relationship, the what of a relationship, but we really, in order to have a healthy, meaningful, long-term relationship, we need to get into the why. And that is really where we learn about personal and social order and the alignment and the understanding of each other's meaning systems. We have to share in experiences to really understand one another. And part of that is sharing past stories, synchronous and asynchronous experiences, which allow us to connect, and it feels a bit magical, but I'm not going to have time to get into that part today. Equivalent knowledge, sharing equivalent knowledge and participating in each other's experiences. And equivalent knowledge and participating in each other's experiences are two things that are very visceral and I think will be very difficult to achieve in technology, but I'm an optimist, so we might be able to do it, but we need to do it with finesse, and I'll talk about that in just a second. So past stories. This is my friend Rachel on the right with a friend of hers at a fair, and they're having a good time, and they'll go back, and they'll probably, after this fair, they'll reminisce about what had happened, what had meaning for them, and why it had meaning for them, the good experiences, the bad experiences, and they'll probably even have some jokes to tell, some inside jokes. So that's sharing an experience they know about themselves. They know why this had meaning for them. A past story for technology, Netflix kind of does it. They remember, they have a learning algorithm, they remember the things that you've watched, they can make suggestions, but they're not always the greatest suggestions, and you're really not sharing a past story. They're just collecting information on you and then making recommendations. Just because I watch Futurama doesn't mean I want to watch Pokemon. And so they've actually lost customers because they're learning about what you're watching, but they don't know why you're watching it or what meaning it has for you. So this is really important to know the why. And then equivalent knowledge. This is a really difficult one, I think, for technology. And again, we'd have to achieve it with finesse. Let's say I'm in Smith Rock, Oregon, and I'm hiking about, and I'm just like, wow, this is a really incredible experience. It's vast. It's expansive. It helps me get down to earth. It's meditative. I go out to dinner, and I meet this woman, and I learn she went to Smith Rock. Okay, we share that equivalent knowledge that we both have been to Smith Rock. Awesome. We can identify and relate on that context. And then she tells me it was vast. It brought me down to earth. It was meditative. Now we're sharing and why that experience at Smith Rock is pretty sweet. But with technology, you have Google Now, for example, and you're going past a movie theater. It tells you what movies are playing, and so that's great, but it might not know exactly what movies you would want to watch. And then it would be very weird if suddenly the technology was like, hey, the movie theater is fun, it's expansive, it's meditative, it's down to earth. So it would feel very forced and artificial. So again, achieving equivalent knowledge is going to be something very difficult for us to achieve, and we'll have to do it with finesse so that it feels non-intrusive and it feels real for us. And it feels as though we're having a good experience with one another. Participating in each other's experiences. So let's say I'm sitting at a table and all of a sudden you start to cry and I kind of know a bit about you and I can instantly notice how you're feeling. And then I can react in a way that would actually help you along, that would help get you through that moment. And you could do the same for me. Well, technology can't do that. It can't tell you, you know, hey, I noticed you're crying and let me help you out here. And that would also feel kind of odd and intrusive. So again, we'd have to figure out how to solve for this in a very non-intrusive way and finesse it. And would we even want that as humans to have this technology helping us through a situation? Maybe, maybe not. Something to think about. Contributions are important. So collaborative effort is really about helping each other through a task and really helping each other achieve something. And this is simple, and they have this direct deposit feature. They allow you to deposit all of your money, dollar amount or a percentage. And then what they'll do is they already have information on you, so they'll refill the forms and then they'll send it to your employer. So they're really taking a lot of the effort away from you and helping you through a situation, which is really great. This is what we look for in friendships and love relationships and relationships that we have. We want to feel as though people are collaborating with us and helping us through situations. Tokens of commitment, these are gifts. These allow us to understand or feel as though you have value to somebody else, and that's so providing somebody something that has meaning to them, not a useless gift that has absolute no meaning, like Aunt Susie's scarf that's camo and you don't wear camo and she doesn't really get you. So this guy, he was actually creating some packages around Valentine's Day, and he was drawing out all these different pieces of artwork and choosing stamps and using all these nicknames for people and stuff like that, and his friends were really excited about them, and they actually said these really are meaningful. And so we want to get there. We want to have those meaningful gifts. But this is Simple, and Simple wrote me an email, and it was a really nice picture of their team. And they sent me, and I'm sure everybody got this who's a member of Simple, and they sent me a gift of a $25 Uber gift card. But I was living in Austin at the time. I didn't use Uber. Uber is illegal. And I thought it was really great that they didn't give me a Simple gift because that would feel very selfish. But they went outside and they used their own brand identity, something that they identify with and something they think I would identify with. But it wasn't a gift that I could use or that had specific meaning for me. So they kind of missed the boat on actually providing me a meaningful token of commitment, but they tried. It was a nice gesture. Growth. Growth is really important. We really seek people who can help us grow and evolve as people, provide knowledge to our knowledge bank. And this is my best friend, Tanya, who is a mountaineer and ultramarathon runner. And I'm also pretty active. And if I'm having a bad day in terms of my activity levels and things like that, I can go to her. She can give me some really meaningful advice. And she can come to me and give me meaningful advice as well. So we're helping each other grow and evolve. With Fitbit in Austin, I was gaining a little bit of weight because I think I was eating too much barbecue. I generally eat a really healthy breakfast, and I decided to put in what I'm eating for breakfast to kind of track it for a little bit. But I noticed that they were actually putting in numbers that didn't match what I was eating, and I went and looked at labels to see where they were getting their numbers from. I don't know where they're getting their numbers from, and the labels that they were using or the labels that I was seeing were different than the numbers that they had in there. And then they tell me that I can only eat 205 after breakfast. I had only had yogurt and granola and a coffee. I can only have 205 more calories for the rest of the day. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, this is not motivating at all, and it's not incentivizing, but I also am not motivated by numbers. And so it made me feel like I had the pressure on me, and I don't like that. I like to be kind of a free spirit. And so they don't understand what has meaning for me in terms of helping me grow. And so they missed the boat on that one too. Understanding. So when we understand each other's meaning systems, we can actually start to help each other tend, care, and anticipate each other's needs. And I kind of like this photo because to me it symbolizes maybe this person who's providing this meal for sick people understands this person's needs. Maybe it's an inside joke that they provided a Pabst Blue Ribbon when they're sick. But if you understand somebody's meaning system, what has meaning for me in terms of helping me grow? And so they missed the boat on that one too. understanding. So when we understand each other's meaning systems, we can actually start to help each other tend, care, and anticipate each other's needs. And I kind of like this photo because to me it symbolizes maybe this person who's providing this meal for sick people understands this person's needs. Maybe it's an inside joke that they provided a Pabst Blue Ribbon when they're sick. But if you understand somebody's meaning system, their personal order, as well as their social order, you're able to provide them things that have deep meaning and continue that long-term relationship with them. So as we age, as we move on, we need to evolve and realign. And technology needs to evolve and realign with us because we are constantly changing people. And we start in this first part of the circle, this first part of the infinity symbol, and we haven't even gotten that part right in technology. We are pretty much failing at that in most instances. And so we need to really work on the short-term relationship part first, and then we can get to start innovating for the long-term relationship, that meaningful relationship, and really have long-term, meaningful, healthy relationships with our technologies. But let's start first in the first